Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, November the 27th. And first today, a bus company is investigating after a driver was filmed telling a passenger she gave disabled people a bad name. Now, the confrontation happened as Nargis Fakhri, who uses a wheelchair, tried to board the 140 Arriva service at Strood Retail Park. It was already busy and she claims she was told she didn't have priority. Now, this exchange with the driver was captured on the passenger's phone.
The Disabled Society actually said they do not want you discriminated against, so you do not have priority.
That's fine. First,
just get off the bus.
Okay.
You give disabled people a bad name.
Always have priority.
She did eventually get on the bus when another passenger moved, but claims her phone was then snatched from her as she filmed the driver. That's also been reported to police. Well, Lucy joins me now with a bit more on this story. So, Lucy, can you just clarify exactly what the law is in this situation?
Well, Arriva told us that conditions of carriage state wheelchairs have priority. Drivers are expected to ask pushchairs to fold down to make space, although if they refuse, drivers are advised not to get into conflict. As you say, they're investigating. The police have also confirmed they were called to reports of an assault which allegedly happened in Bly Way.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories on the podcast today, and two men who stabbed a waiter on his way home from work in Whitstable have been jailed for a total of 18 years. Modasha Hussain was left for dead in an alleyway after being ambushed following a shift at Gandhi Tandoori restaurant in Herne Bay. He spent months being treated in hospital. 26-year-old Lewis Day from Hearson Road in Ramsgate and Daryl Brown, who's 33 and from Tomlin Drive in Margate, both tried to blame each other for the attack. A 15-year-old has been arrested following the assault of McDonald's staff members in Sittingbourne Retail Park. Witnesses say one worker was headbutted and suffered a cut, while another was punched during the fight with three teenage boys on Saturday. Problems with antisocial behaviour in the town have been raised by the local MP. The Home Secretary says they'll be setting out plans to introduce more neighbourhood police officers. A Folkestone man's avoided prison after knocking out a pub customer who didn't share his chicken and chips. Neil McLaughlin asked a stranger to give him some of his meal at the Wetherspoons, then kicked his chair, causing him to fall and hit his head. Well, the 41-year-old from Bouverie Square has been given a suspended sentence and must do unpaid work. And the air ambulance has been called to a serious crash between a bus and a car near Sittingbourne. A woman had to be cut free from her vehicle following the collision on Staplehurst Road in Bobbing last night. It's understood the bus driver was uninjured. Now, next today, in the Kent Online podcast has been hearing how do not swim warnings for some of Kent's busiest beaches will be a huge blow to local businesses. The water quality at Dymchurch, Littlestone and near to Deal Castle has been rated as poor following investigations from the Environment Agency. It's feared it could impact summer tourism next year. Well, Jim Martin is the leader of Folkestone and Hythe District Council, and he's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the Local Democracy Reporting Service.
So we're hugely disappointed at the Environment Agency's bathing water quality ratings. It's very bad news for Dymchurch, who have moved from sufficient into poor. However, there is good news for St Mary's Bay that's improved from poor to sufficient. Littlestone remains a poor. Now, you know, it's all one sea. These are adjacent beaches, so quite how we can have poor, sufficient and poor, I'm not entirely sure, but that's the way the Environment Agency do it.
Now, in terms of Dymchurch, I mean, how long were those, I know you won't know exactly, but how long will those signs stay up for, those sort of signs?
So the assessment that's come out today is the annual assessment. Now, the Environment Agency do test monthly from May to September, the bathing water season. Now, if there is a dramatic improvement, We will certainly be talking to the Environment Agency about getting these notices down as quickly as possible.
Those signs don't go. Do you worry that could deter tourists going to Dimchurch?
Absolutely. We are a tourist economy. You know, we are dependent on tourism. It's a real problem for local people as well. A lot of people move to those that part of Hythe Bay, Littlestone, St Mary's Bay, and Dimchurch are simply to walk on the beach. Not everyone's a swimmer, but people who walk on the beach are also affected by this. And of course, holidaymakers, the big attraction of those beaches is they're big and they're flat and they're very, very, very safe. So very, very popular with families, very popular for small children. So this casts a shadow over the whole tourism industry.
Really? Anything I should like to add?
Well, all I can say is that, sadly, Southern Water, who are the polluter, and the Environment Agency, who are our guardian, do not have a solution for this problem. In fact, they don't know the specific reasons. They say that, it's a range of things, from illegal connections, leaking cesspit, bird poo, but there's been seagulls around at bay for many, 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 many years. There are lots of local people who say that it's probably the 1,000 hours of raw sewage that's going in to Hythe Bay from the long pipe at Range Road in Hythe that is the reason. But both Southern Water and the Environment Agency agreed that this is not the source. So I don't know. I'm not a marine biologist. All I know is we have got a deteriorating problem.
Now, the Environment Agency say they're working with the water industry, farmers and local authorities to get water up to standard. Southern Water have also sent us a statement. They say they've published their annual bathing water report, which sets out what they're doing to protect and enhance these precious coastal environments. They say this publication responds directly to the Environment Agency's announcement of 2024's bathing water classifications, which ranks 84% of 87 designated bathing waters as good or excellent. Southern Water go on to say that it has an important part to play in improving and maintaining water quality, but there are many other factors that impact it: agricultural, highways and industry runoff, as well as the impact of animals and marine activity. And they end by saying that partnership working is vital, and they say they're delighted that so many councils and organisations are working with them to bring the outcomes we all want.
Kent Online reports.
A weather warning for heavy rain was in force across Kent earlier. Storm Connell has hit the county just days after we were battered by Storm Bert, which brought down a number of trees. Some areas were expected to get up to 50 millimetres of rain, and several flood alerts have been issued. We can hear next from the Chatham and Aylesford MP, who's led a debate in Parliament over what can be done to tackle fly tipping. Millions of pounds is being spent annually on cleanups. Just this month, contractors were appointed to start removing waste from Hodes Wood in Ashford after more than 35,000 tonnes was illegally dumped there. It's expected to cost somewhere between £10 and £15 million. Well, Tris Osborne has outlined some of the tactics used by Medway Council to tackle the issue.
There is a postcode lottery in terms of how councils across the country are managing this issue. And I actually want to celebrate in some ways an example of Medway Council, my local authority, and some of the outstanding work that they've done. So, for instance, in Medway, we have introduced free bulky waste collection working with our contractor for residential waste so that we can reduce mattresses and other residential waste being left on streets across the town. The Love Medway scheme, which followed the Love Essex programme, has raised awareness amongst the public. We have increased fines to the top level, and I think it's really important that councils do send that message using government powers to increase that, and I think it's right that the Honourable Member challenges his council leader on this matter. We also work across boroughs. Local authorities are not islands unto themselves, and it is important that where we have cross-boundary issues that we Medway works with Gravesham, Swale and other local councils, and I note my colleague from City, Bourne and Sheppey is sitting behind. We also have a wall of shame in Medway, which before people ask what that means, we actually publicise people who are conducting this environmental crime, and we name and shame those who are caught and fined. We work very closely with our probation and community payback service to ensure that those who commit the crime are clearing their mess. And we also have increasingly used CCTV technologies in hotspot locations to catch perpetrators. And I believe all of these schemes in Medway have resulted in successes in challenging this. But again, my honourable member colleague here states that this is not the same across all Kent areas. So if I might just ask a series of questions to the Minister in my conclusion. So of the new respect orders which the government are introducing are extremely welcome, and I endorse entirely the approach undertaken by the Home Office and others to curb antisocial behaviour, including nuisance biking and other persistent behaviours. Will the respect orders include those who are engaging in persistent environmental crimes, or will the Minister be looking at other types of enforcement approaches? Fly tipping at the moment is the courts can give different fines for fly tipping depending on the size, but many councils have a standard fine approach. Will there be some review of that in relation to the size of the fly tip and the nature of the fly tip to again dissuade people from commercial fly tips? And will the government be monitoring the amount of fixed penalty notices and court enforcements that occur in each council, because there is a postcode lottery in where we are living around this country?
The number of pets abandoned in Kent has gone up by almost a third, according to figures seen by Kent Online. Data collected by the RSPCA shows 632 animals were dumped in 2023, up from 481 2 years earlier when the cost of living crisis started. The charities described it as a shocking trend. A growing number of people are having to be buried or cremated by councils, according to new figures. It's often because the deceased has no one to organise or pay for a funeral, with the average basic service in Kent now costing almost £5,000. Well, the number of public health funerals for some local councils have more than trebled in the last 5 years, with the cost of living crisis also said to be a key factor there.
Kent Online reports.
We're going to head to Kent's biggest shopping centre next, because House of Fraser at Bluewater closes for the final time today. It was one of the centre's three original anchor stores when it first opened 25 years ago. A huge sale has been taking place to clear stock, and it's previously been rumoured that Next could fill the space. But as one store closes, another opens. Makeup and skincare shop Sephora is returning to the centre. This will be their seventh outlet, and a long queue was expected ahead of the door's opening. Our reporter Cara Simmons had a sneak peek around and has been chatting to Managing Director Sarah Boyd.
I'm very excited about this mall. I always have been. I mean, I remember it from many, many years ago as just a lovely place to shop. Great, because the population of Kent don't feel have that many options when it comes to big shopping areas. And so really Bluewater is very important in this part of the country. And we're trying to make sure from a diversity and inclusion point of view that we're actually inclusive geographically, so that we can be within an hour or so's drive of the majority of the population. So finding this right hub to service the consumer group in Kent was really important. So I'm really excited. I feel like we're going to have great loyalty and a very kind of a regular customer base here, which will be really nice. And it's borne out already in the cast members, who are all local, all majority local Kent citizens, if that's the right word, that have been hired here, and they're very, very excited to be part of this new opening. I think the store, like I say, will be a huge success here. I hope it will be anyway. I hope that the consumers that come and visit us will love the experience that will be provided, A, by the amazing cast that will really bring their best selves to work every day, but also by the incredible range of products and the sort of the general feel of the store. I feel like the mall itself has also undergone a bit of a revamp in the last few years. I think mall management have done a brilliant job, and there's some great new retailers and F&B outlets that have opened, you know, in the not too distant past as well. So it feels like we're part of a bit of a new Bluewater discovery, which is exciting.
And I mean, you do have, you know,
food super drug here. What makes Sephora different from those guys? You know, what makes them stand out from the rest?
Well, I think the experience that you were mentioning before. I think we pride ourselves on not just selling product, but really providing an amazing experience every day. And whether that's the energy, whether it's the cast who are, you know, fully democratic, selling all of the amazing products in our range. And so you'll be able to have a genuine conversation with any of our beauty advisors about what's genuinely right for you as a consumer. But there'll also be events, there'll be services, people will be able to come for makeovers, for getting their brows done with Benefit, or for facial services with Elemis. So there's going to be, you know, lots of excitement in the store. So I think that experience, as well as the amazing curation of brands that we have, will be really what will set us apart.
And finally, a school choir are going to be performing at Blue Water later. Year 5 pupils from Craylands will sing a selection of their favourite songs used in the John Lewis Christmas ads.
Kent Online News.
Now, if you head to Kent Online today, you can see a first look at what 6 new shops opening up inside a former restaurant in Folkestone would look like. The Oriental Buffet on Rendezvous Street closed in June last year. It's now been split into 6 different units. Among those set to move in is a jewellery boutique, a shop that sells vintage items, and it's hoped the development will add a lot of vibrancy to the area. Meantime, there are fears plans to redevelop an old cinema in Deal could ruin a conservation area. The owners of the Regent on Beach Street want to knock it down and replace it with a new 2 cinema theatre, as well as 9 townhouses. Historic England say they think it could undermine the landmark quality of nearby Tyneball Tower and Deal Castle. This story's been getting a lot of love on the website today. A trader who's been selling ice creams, burgers and buckets and spades from a kiosk on Sheppey for more than 50 years has decided to call it a day. Janet Debman has made the very difficult decision to leave the business on Beachfields in Sheerness, and she's been chatting to our reporter, Joe Crosley.
Just tell me a little bit about the history of this place in terms of how did you get your hands on it?
Well, Mum and Dad run it for a long time, from 71, and it used to be about 4 of us working here, very busy times. But as the years have gone down, obviously, you know, COVID has hit and everything. So I've done like 30 years on my own here, and yeah, now's the time to go. I've said it for 20 years, and everyone knows that, you know, another year, but this year's the year. Got to start living my life now, put my feet up.
So, can you tell me one of your favourite memories of this place in terms of, you know, over the years, what's some of your favourite moments?
There's been so many, you know, people come up here and they've got like their walking sticks, you know, and then they start having fights with the walking, really silly things, you know, and you get people sitting there, you know, they all sit here and have a good old laugh, and we used to get really joking about all the time. And Mick, my friend, Mick Jarvis, he used to come up here every day, and one day this Bert was making him laugh and he fell over like the back of the seat, you know, and his legs were up in the air and everyone, I don't know, just had so many funny, good moments. And nearly every customer has been amazing.
Sure. Can you tell me that story about the kids, about the fish and chips and the kids running over?
Oh, yes, at the end of the day, we always used to cook a lot of chips and we always had loads over. So I always used to shout out to the skateboard boys. They was only about 10 then. And we used to shout out, 50p chips, come and get your chips. And like 20 of them all come running over because they were so cheap. But now they're all like, they're married boys now, got their own children. And they even started coming up, bringing the kids with them. And that's all what I'm going to miss. I'm watching all these children grow up, coming up here, and then they got their kids and their car. And, you know, the years have just flown by so quickly. I will miss it. I will miss the people.
All the very best to Janet in her retirement. And after a 2-year break, the Margate Film Festival gets underway today. Organisers say it'll celebrate diversity, local talent and groundbreaking storytelling. Films will be shown at various venues in the town over the next few days.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and Kent side Crawley is due to open the batting for England in the first test against New Zealand later. Play won't actually get underway until 10 tonight, our time, in Christchurch. Well, Jacob Bethell is expected to make his debut because wicketkeeper Jordan Cox is injured. And in football, Gillingham director Shannon Gallanson has spoken out about the importance of the club's community foundation. It's back up and running after being scrapped during the pandemic to save money. The owners say they're proud to be going into schools and encouraging boys and girls to get involved in the sport. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.